Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So go ahead, Jay. Jay Santos joins us, talking about marriage.
Well, you're talking about a successful marriage, right?
And you've been married, what, 11 years, something like that?
I've been married 11 years, Phil, Lisa. It's very important, I think, for people to understand that counseling's a great thing, I think. But there is a quid pro quo. And that's sort of the thing that I've... Yeah, it's always a quid pro quo, and haven't been married as long as I have, you understand that.
So 11 years, what, you got a marriage, wedding anniversary coming up in July?
Coming up in July. And when you have been married that long and you have to work on certain issues, see, I have certain issues and my wife has certain issues.
Right.
And you're always going to have a lot of different kinds of situations that come up, different issues. I'm a volunteer police officer with Citizens Auxiliary Police, so I've got a lot of time that I'm not working. And that's something that concerns my wife. And these issues are important to each of us.
Where'd you meet your wife?
We met at a social mixer, both belonged to a singles group. We got married and had our son. And
well, you know, when you get married, you get comfortable with each other. But she's asked you to go into couple counseling?
Well, sometimes what happens is you stop trying as hard as you should. And now I've had certain issues with her. As she's gotten older, she's gotten less... you know, I suppose you call it less interested in the way her face looks or whatever you want to call it. And she has said she wants to go to this couple counseling situation. And
why does she want to go?
She wants, well, as I indicated, she has some issues she needs to work out. She says she has a hard time talking to me. And I certainly understand that's fine. That's okay. But I feel that...
You don't believe in going to counseling?
Well, let me explain to your audience and to you, Phil, what counseling is so that you get a better read on what couple counseling is. Couple counseling... or this going to a psychiatrist type of situations for people who are mentally disturbed or they have some kind of a situation. I don't see that as certainly the case with me, but all I want to say is if Lisa, who's my wife, has some kind of mental disturbance, I will go with her, but I said there's quid pro quo.
So in other words, she gets something, but you get something in return. She wants to go into this couple counseling, and you want something in return.
That is correct. That is correct.
What is it that you want?
Well, she wants me to go to this counseling with her, and I said, that's fine, but we have a quid pro quo kind of a deal, and I have asked her to have or to consider some kind of breast enhancement or some kind of breast augmentation. And
so your issue with her is that she's not attractive enough or not sexy enough?
No, it's not that she's not attractive. You're missing my point. Let me explain to you and your audience what counseling and quid pro quo kind of a deal on account of, you know, being married. We're just both trying to improve. I'm improving by going to a counseling deal with her, and she needs to come to the table too. So I'm going to come to the table with a couple counseling. I want to come to the table with this chest the chest augmentation situation that I floated, because I had the magazine. It had a couple different ads in it, and she said she wants to go with her, she wants me to go with her as a counseling deal, and I said, that's fine, but can we get to what I'm talking about? And what I did, Phil, is on the cover of this magazine, I've seen it, FHM, is this Brooke Burke, and I don't know if you've seen her or not, she's a very attractive young lady, and she has a look that I would like to see my wife aspire to in some way.
And so your wife needs to get her breasts augmented? Right.
So if you see the cover of FHM this month, this Brooke Burke individual, I observed the cover of the magazine at Barnes & Noble. All right, and I observed the time she did have at that time, a very impressive, you know, a very impressive pair of bosoms, and it was that I noted in my heart that that'd be my end of the deal, to have her change that way, because change is essential to a marriage.
All right, Jay, I got a question here. I've listened to what you have to say. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we're talking to a lot of different professionals about marriages, what they need after you know, many years of being married. You're asking, your wife wants to go to couple counseling. You say that's her thing. You want her to get breast augmentation. And
that's correct, yes.
All right, now, Jay, the difference is she's asking for counseling, which sounds like something for the both of you, that she needs more communication from you, and your end of it is you don't like her physically?
So let me clarify for you, and this will help your audience and it'll help you and people in your audience, especially the women, understand. A woman needs to be sexually appealing, if you will. And that includes at least considering breast augmentation or rhinoplasty surgery and some kind of fat transfer elimination. That's because men are very visual. Women do not and require that kind of thing. What they require is what you want to call conversation, have a conversation, cup of coffee. Okay, and...
What do you look like? I'm just curious about that.
I'm sorry?
What do you look like? I'm curious. I mean, does your wife care?
I'm just an average-looking guy. You know,
well, tell me...
I mean, I just work hard.
Well, tell me about what you look like. Are you attractive to your wife?
Of course, I'm very, very much dragging my wife. I think the thing my wife likes about me and the thing that women like about their men is that... I think, you know, at least for me, I've got a very good fashion sense because I'm out in the public. I generally like to wear good clothing and carry myself.
Tell me about the clothing that you wear. The reason why I'm asking this is I want to know about your physicality.
But again, that's not the most important thing to men. But what I'm saying is you in any successful marriage, there's got to be a give and take, quid pro quo.
And tell me, you have a good fashion sense. What do you dress like?
I'm out in the public. I generally like to wear a good, you know, good basic quality loafer. If you got a quality slip on, I go for a lot of color, good quality Hawaiian shirt. I like a nice looking relaxed fit Docker. I think I look good with a mirrored aviator. You know, I prefer the mirrored aviator sunglasses. I just recently did the odd fashion statement. Some of them like. I went out, and some of my wife enjoys. I went and I had one of my front teeth capped in gold. And that's kind of a relevant modern field.
All right, so I don't know, man. You know, but you just told me that you wear a quality loafer, a Hawaiian shirt, a relaxed fit Docker, aviator shades, and one of your front teeth is Captain Gold.
Well, you asked me what I look like, and I'm just trying to give you an idea of the fashion. So I don't know, it's going to be some kind of a, you know, you're going to give me some kind of third degree. Is all the kind of a situation that I'm talking about.
All right, so just so my listeners are taking notes, successful marriages have what you call a quid pro quo.
Let me do it. First of all, number one, you need a give and take. You've got to have a give and take. Number two, women are interested in conversation. And you want to give them that and security as well. That's what women want. And men need to know that you as a wife have a certain level of taking care of your physical appearance. And one way to ensure that there's another way here, Phil, is when you do have children, I didn't bring this up, when you do have children, a lot of women let themselves go straight right into the hell, right into the living hell, physically. So you need to take care of that. And number three, in a way, Lisa, my wife's in a vicious cycle because she's unhappy and she wants to go to counseling, but with the breast augmentation, she'll make me happy and then I'll want to talk to her and then she won't need to go to this couple counseling. And this psychologist that she's trying to, this psychologist trying to chisel $200 an hour out of me, she can go and rob somebody else type of deal. See? So
your wife would like you to talk to her more, and in order for you to talk to her more, she needs to have her breasts enlarged.
That's correct.
And then you'll talk to her, and she won't need to go to a counselor.
That's right. And this guy guy she's seeing right now is this Dr. Abernathy. He's chiseling $200 an hour out of her. It's outrageous what he's trying to do.
Well, I don't know if the guy's chiseling her. Isn't that what these people do?
No, this guy's a chiseler. He's chiseling $200 an hour out of her. I just think the whole deal's outrageous. Now, I want to say one thing, Phil, before you go to your commercial break.
Go ahead, Jay.
I know a lot of people are going to say, well, it's very shallow of him to say that, I want my wife to go out and get her bazoozum, or not a bazoozum.
Of her bosoms?
Well, yeah, her bosom enlarged. Because that's important to me. What's important to my wife is that we communicate. But women will never understand that men are very visual. And once you make the package visually appealing, we're going to want to open that package up and see what's inside. And that's the thing that I never hear no women talk about. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, I mean, my wife is beautiful. Every man sees his wife as beautiful.
That's exactly correct. And maybe in your instance, I don't want to ask you any questions, but you, for instance, you don't want your wife to have a bosom enhancement. She doesn't want that?
No, she doesn't, and I don't require that. That's not my favorite part of a woman's body anyway.
All right, well, let's see. What is your favorite part?
You know, I don't want to get into that when it comes to my wife, okay? We're talking about you, and we're talking about what makes us successful.
Well, your wife is attractive to you, even though she's not had any boo... I can't say the words. Boo-zoom.
Breast, man. What are you trying to...
I'm trying to say that...
You're trying to say bosom?
Yeah, bosom. Bosom. That she has not had that kind of enhanced... See, look, you know...
All right, hold on for a minute, man. I got to take a break here. Jay Sanis is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he and his wife have undergone some pretty intense conversation about, well, they're 11 years married, and they're trying to regenerate interest. She wants him to talk to her more. He says that he would be inclined to talk to her more and work less if she was more physically appealing. To that extent, he wants her to have breast augmentation. Yes, it sounds shallow to me, too. Sounds very shallow to me. And yet he says that it's a quid pro quo. She wants more conversation. He wants her to have a larger chest. And if they can meet halfway, then he'll talk to her, and she won't need to go to this psychologist who, quote, is chiseling chiseling $200 an hour out of her, end quote. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Hendry will be right back with Jay Sanis from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Just what makes a marriage work? What makes it last? Well, it's meeting halfway for each other. The quid pro quo. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The triumph of intelligence over ignorance. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, we're back on the air. Jay Sanis, Citizens Auxiliary Police, but also a husband of 11 years. He and his wife celebrating their 11th year together in July. Jay, you've mentioned that your wife has asked for more conversation. You guys are in couple counseling.
You know, Phil, I don't know if that's what you call it.
Well, it's some kind of counseling for married people, right?
It is some kind of psychiatry. We got a psychiatrist, psychologist, I'm not sure what it is. And he sits down, and we'll talk. Now, one of the deals this guy does really want to say is chiseling $200 an hour out of me. Is he saying, well, what about you? What about you? And I said, this is really about her and the probably mental, you know, sort of the mental disturbance she has.
Do you think it's mentally disturbed for a woman to want to have her husband talk to her more?
No, I certainly don't think it's mentally disturbed to want to have conversation with your husband, especially when your husband is involved in the front line of law enforcement as I am. Even though I am a volunteer police officer, I don't think it's any secret that women are attracted to men who are in uniform, as I do every day. I go out of the house, I've got a blue armband on, I've got on the pith helmet, I do wear Bermuda shorts. And these are the tools, this is the symbol of my volunteer police work. But I think it is mentally disturbed, if you don't mind saying, to expect your husband to talk to you when I can go down here to the... Right down here to Cole's newsstand down here at Cahuenga, pick up a copy of FHM. There's Brooke Burke right on the cover. Type of individual's got a very fine-looking, you know, set of, you know.
She's got an enhanced breast.
That's what I'm trying to say. My wife won't do that.
So why talk to her?
No, it's not, you're missing my point.
All right, let me take a phone call, because I want to ask you about how this all of this makes your wife feel. 1-800...
No, but you're missing, you're making it sound as if it's my fault. I do talk to her. It's not, we're not as connected because I've left around pictures of nose jobs. I've left around pictures of breasts and breasts that she, I want to have them enhanced.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't understand that last 1-800.
I said,
hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Melanie, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hi. Yes, my point to Jay is that a real man who really loved his wife would not require such a vast physical change from a woman.
Well, and she's asking me that I change. So why can't I not ask her change?
She only wants you to open up and talk to her.
Of course, and I'm certainly
for you.
I'm willing to do that. But one of the things I think women need to understand, and again, I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but I am trying to say to you is this. men need their women to be appealing on some level. Mr. Henry said that his wife is beautiful to him.
Well, I'm not saying I'm better than you. I haven't asked my wife to have surgery.
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. I mean, I've asked my wife to have surgery. You may not. I don't know what you're saying. But,
your wife is an ugly, is she?
No, my wife's not a, well, no, she, I would like her to have her breasts enhanced, that's all. And I don't know if you've seen the cover of FHM's got this Brooke individual. Do you know who I'm thinking about?
Brooke? Oh, I know who you're talking about.
She's
very lovely.
Nice, very lovely pair, you know, she's got a,
well, rather than saying she's got a lovely pair, why don't we just say she's a beautiful woman?
And she's got a very pretty face, and she's got long brown hair.
And she's got two enormously fake breasts.
Well, Mr. Henry, you know, you guys like you say, well, they're fake, so I'm not in it. You know, you guys crack me up, because you know, you'd want to, you know, Brooke Burke came in, you'd probably want to, you know, do things with him. And
no, I would not. I happen to be a happily married man, and no, I would not. Now, let's get it off of me, and let's talk about you. How does this make your wife feel?
I'm sorry?
How does all of this, hey, honey, I'll talk to you if you'll get your breasts done?
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think maybe he's a little jealous that his wife is talking to the counselor. The counselor is talking to him. I wouldn't be surprised if his wife ends up having an affair with the counselor.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I'm the host. Here is Lori. Go ahead. Lori?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, I guess I was a little bothered by the fact that this gentleman's really not following his own rules. He commented early on that a successful marriage, you know, people compromise, that people
exactly, and that's what I'm doing. I'm saying that I'll come down the road, and
you'll deign to talk to her if she gets her breasts enlarged.
I think that what confused me was the fact that I heard nothing really that you're going to do. You said you're going to let her go to a counselor.
I'll let her go to a counselor if she will
have
that boob.
Yeah, you would let her go to a counselor, or she can get boobs done. That's nothing that you're willing to do. That's
no, ma'am. I said we will go to the counselor. We will go to the counselor if she'll get the boob done.
And the other thing that concerned me was that you said people who go to counseling have mental illnesses. There's something wrong with them. And, you know, I've been married 17 years. I'm a therapist. I'm 5'9". I weigh 135 pounds, and I wear a 36D bra. And I love my husband, and I work hard at our marriage. But working hard at a marriage is truly compromising. And going to a therapist provides you with an outside party that can give you ideas or thoughts that you haven't thought of. And
well,
it's
but
really,
people don't go to therapists unless they're mentally... Wouldn't you agree with that? People don't go to therapists unless they're mentally disturbed?
No, not at all.
No, mentally... What do you mean by...
Counselors could go to therapists because... It's somebody on the outside that might come up with an idea you haven't thought of.
May I ask you something, ma'am? You're a counselor. You say you're a counselor, correct?
Yeah.
You said you had a 36D. I didn't hear that.
Yes. What difference does that make?
I just want to ask the lady what...
The difference...
She said she had a 36D. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good pair, isn't it?
Can we get off of a pretty good pair? Can we...
I think the problem is that... You are what you say you are. You're shallow, and you're not willing to compromise.
I am totally willing to compromise.
I think what's going on, if I may jump in, Lori, would Jay, if I may...
Well, I don't want anybody speaking for me.
Now, wait, hold on. You think you're compromising. You're going to go to therapy if she gets breast augmentation.
That's called quid pro quo, yeah. You want to talk about quid pro quo, ma'am?
That's called self-centered and shallow, like you said.
Well, ma'am, just because you got your degree off a Rice Krispies box doesn't mean you're going to be telling me...
Hold on for a minute. Nobody's offending you. Why are you insulting this lady?
I'm really not insulted, you know.
Well,
it's kind of the old saying, simple things and meet simple people.
All right. Lori, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos... who believes that in marriage there must be compromise. That's why he says he'll go to counseling with his wife and he'll consider talking to her if she gets her breasts enhanced. It's called a quid pro quo, in case you missed it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the bull. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Did you think that that was an appropriate... Back, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Did you think that was an appropriate thing to say?
All I said, Mr. Henry, was the comment... You mean the comment about Brooke Burke's plastic surgeon?
The doctor that did the breast enhancement on Brooke Burke, yeah.
I said that were I the... I didn't say he did. I said if I had been the doctor before she came out of the general anesthetic, right after the bosom enlargement on her, I would have, you know...
Taken some liberties, is what you said.
Mr. Henry, I want to get back to the point.
Well, I just, when you're comparing your wife to Brooke Burke because you saw her on the cover of FHM, and your wife, I wanted to find out what she felt about all of this. You wouldn't tell me.
My wife has told me so that she would be grateful to go and have I keep saying the bosom enlargement, if I will go into couple counseling with her. I said, yeah, I'll go into counseling. I said, the couple counseling part, I don't think there's anything wrong with me. I think there's some mental disturbance that you need to address. And I said, with great love in my heart for her. But again, you have to understand, my wife is like a lot of women who are married to men in law enforcement. And
well, you're in a volunteer police organization. What do you do for a living?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
You're in a volunteer, you know, like neighborhood patrol. What do you do for a living?
I work security over at Johnson Beverage.
Okay, great. So you're not really on the front lines of law enforcement.
Mr. Henry, I wear a uniform and put my life on the line at night when we go out and we do our neighborhood watch patrol. So I don't understand why...
All right, so your wife is grateful she's married to a guy, and when you walk out of the door at night with your pith helmet, your blue armband, and your Bermuda shorts, she's real proud.
She's like a lot of men married to guys who are in the front line of law enforcement, yeah. And all I'm asking for is if she wants me to go to this head shrinker that's chiseling two bills an hour out of me, that's fine. But if I got to put two bills an hour into this chiseler, then I'd like to see her go and get a breast made bigger. The bigger, you know.
All right, let me go over here to Helen. Helen, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling. I wanted to point out to this gentleman that what he's asking of his wife is completely not a fair trade because he's asking her to go on the operating table, have a breast augmentation, endure all kinds of risks like bleeding and infection, and after she's recuperated, she could even have, like, contractures. She could even have rippling of the breast. She could have a worse result than before. And he's asking that of her. And when all she wants is counseling, that is not even close to a fair trade.
Well, I mean, in other words, what I'm asking of her is on the cover of FHM this month. Her name's Brooke Burke. Okay, and you point out any woman who want to look like that. And I'll show you a woman that's completely lost her mind. I got a psychiatrist going to chisel two bills an hour out of her, like chisel two bills an hour out of my wife.
Yeah, but you're being completely unrealistic.
Well, ma'am, all I'm saying is quid pro quo. Now, I don't know if
it's not quid pro quo, though.
Lady,
that's my point.
This gal just called in about 15 minutes ago. She says 36D. And I said, that's fair trade. And
I don't want you talking about women's bra sizes, Jay. All I want you to do, when you say you leave the house in a pith helmet with a blue armband, what is that?
I beg your pardon?
What is that, your uniform?
I do... Citizens Auxiliary Police.
No, I know what you do. You do a volunteer neighborhood patrol kind of a thing. What is the pith helmet?
That's what we wear. We wear a pith helmet, a blue armband. We have Bermuda shorts and wingtips. Is there a problem?
And your wife's all proud of that, huh?
Women like to be married to men in law enforcement. That's all. You can ask this lady here. Helen?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about what?
Well, I said, you see, Phil asked me, am I attractive? I said, yes, I am. I my wife finds me attractive. I do contemporary things. I went out, I had a gold cap put on my front tooth, this kind of a thing.
That's not attractive
what
in my
it?
Book.
What are you laughing at?
You got a gold cap front tooth, you wear soft leather cowboy boots, and you wear what you call an English golf cap that you unsnap so it looks like a conductor's hat.
Okay.
What the hell?
Anyway, my point was that...
What, is something wrong with it?
Yeah, man, it looks goofy.
What is the gentleman's name again, Phil?
I'm sorry, ma'am. My name is Jay Santos.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of when your wife, when she gets the breast enhancement, what if she ends up with breast contractures or a rippling of her breast? Would you think that's attractive?
You're talking about a situation. Is it going to make the boob smaller? Or what does that do? Does it make them tiny?
No, because that's...
If they're big, I don't care if they're rippling or as long as they're large.
Okay,
and,
well... I don't know if you realize this, sir, but implants are something synthetic, and your body may or may not accept it.
Well, I don't care if it could be an implant. I've asked her. I've laid around magazines, show different nose jobs, different kind of things she can do with her chin.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of risks involved, and I've seen many women come out with rippling of the breast, and it's not a nice sight.
Let's put it this way. We like to say they're large and in charge, okay? You know, that's all I'm talking
about. She's talking about a medical condition. What do you mean large and in charge?
I don't know what she's talking about.
Okay. We're obviously not on the same page.
Well, no,
you're completely
to go down to this guy's 200 an hour out of her. I got to get something out of the deal.
You're completely unreal, and I can't believe she's married to a guy like you. But anyway.
Well,
okay, thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Look,
you got a gold cap front tooth. You wear soft leather cowboy boots. On a good day, you like to wear a quality loafer, whatever that is. You wear relaxed fit Dockers and big, bold Hawaiian shirts. You think you're a catch, huh?
I guess you're aware of a basic fact. Women don't go for men who got good looks. Women go for men who are quality and are large and in charge.
Well, I'll tell you what, pal.
How about you? You good looking? Ah, made my point, pal.
Karen, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Go ahead, ma'am, you're on the air.
Okay, you remind me of my ex-husband. It's so unrealistic because what you're doing is you're afraid of the counselor, so you're using the breast because you can't even say the name breast.
I'm going to the counselor.
You can't. No, you're not.
Yes,
you're
I am. I said that I'm going to go. I'm going to go if she gets
sure.
her breasts enlarged and made bigger.
No, you're not using that as an excuse not to go to the counselor because the breast costs a lot of money, just as much as the counselor costs.
I told her we could do one breast at a time or whatever she wants to do.
What do you mean one breast at a time?
How ridiculous that is. You're threatening her. You know that poor woman?
No, I'm not threatening her. I said,
you remind me of my ex-husband. You know what? He's just like you. He wanted me to be 90 pounds, and he wanted me to, you know, do everything I need to do to get 90 pounds. That was like take drugs, anything you can to be 90. And this woman, she wants conversation. But that's not all we want is conversation, what you think we do. And so you kind of need
well,
a counselor.
I think I fill
you
the
need
bill.
Counseling.
Well, I think I fill the bill in other, in other regards.
You need counseling.
Why do I need counseling? I'm going to go to the counselor. I'm not saying
you're looking at a magazine cover and you're looking at her boobs, but you call it a bosom because you're afraid to say breast. You're fascinated by her breast for some reason.
Well, because that word comes so easily.
Are you afraid to say it?
The word seems to come very easily to you.
No, wait, that's a very good question. Are you afraid to say it?
Are you afraid to say it? What is
it?
You got a fascination?
No, I'm not afraid.
Are you scared?
No, I'm not afraid. You say your
Say it.
You say your husband wanted you at 90 pounds, what, 90 pounds each? How about that?
90 pounds weight.
You know, yeah, 90 pounds each one.
We got it, Jay. Why don't you say it? Say the word.
What?
Say the word.
Say the word breast.
Say breast.
You know, I'm not going to give you people your cheap kicks, okay? You got your cheap thrills.
Say it.
My wife...
Just what is the surgery you want your wife to have done?
I want her to have her...
Don't say ugly old bosoms, because that sounds so gross, you know?
I want her to have her boobs.
That's wrong.
Why can't you say that word?
Mr. Henry, I have a...
Say the word, man. This may be something you need to get through.
You tell me, buddy.
Say it.
I want my wife to have her...
Can't say it.
Her bosoms.
No, man, they aren't called bosoms. What are they called?
Well, the lady thinks it's funny. I've got a mental block because the word doesn't come that easy. I don't have a filthy mind.
You don't have a filthy mind?
It's not filthy. It's not filthy.
Her bosoms. Her Brosmans.
Okay, you're scared. Something's wrong
there.
Dude,
there is something wrong, man.
Something's wrong.
Well, Mr. Henry's got me on a national radio broadcast program, and he wants me to say the word
I don't know. There's something wrong
here. Yeah.
Counseling is definitely needed. That poor woman.
I'm not going to some chiseler.
He's not a chiseler. You need it. You need it.
Say the word. Say the word, man.
Here's free counseling. Say the word.
Blouse clown.
Blouse clown. Thanks a lot, Karen. Oh, yeah, okay. Forgot your music, huh?
I'm sorry. They said that I could...
Go ahead.
Mr. Henry, all I...
Just go ahead and do the end bit. Blouse clown.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken,
I'm very sorry,
just say it.
Organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Say it. Say the word.
Hogan.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by the Premier Radio Networks. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Those are the courageous broadcasters that make this program possible, and all of our affiliated radio stations, we appreciate more than you'll know your affiliation to our radio program as we continue to carve our way through the wilderness of radio art, as we continue to hack our way through the weeds. We are the point men for the art form that is known as radio broadcasting. All else follow behind. We attempt and we execute successfully night after night a kind of radio satire that has never been done before. And I owe a great deal of credit to my young associate producer, Chris Pelton, of course, my engineer, Mark Newman, both of whom are functioning alcoholics. So that makes it all the more remarkable. And Janice Ungaro, my great producer, who is not in tonight. She's out drinking at, I believe it's Moonshadows in Malibu. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. If I'm behind this story, if I am somehow missing this story from its inception, I apologize. This is the first I've heard of this. This is on Matt Drudge's website tonight. New York Times editor to offer defense of flawed Iraq coverage, reporter Judith Miller off the hook. I'm now quoting, "Some critics of our coverage during that time have focused blame on individual reporters. Our examination, however, indicates the problem was more complicated. Editors at several levels who should have been challenging reporters and pressing for more skepticism were perhaps too intent on rushing scoops into the paper," end quote. Now, what I told you guys during and after the Iraq War, that this was, without a doubt, the most badly covered news event in the history of journalism, that this present press establishment had butchered this story up one side and down the next, I said it. I don't know how many people heard it. I said it during the war, and I said it after the war. The embedded press sounded like some kind of just a bad, sick, gay porn film. It didn't sound like anything that I would want to have. When you hear the phrase embedded press, doesn't it sound like you ought to go and get like a big bottle of Phillips Milk of Magnesia or something? Back in March, dig this. See, this is what I'm talking about, man. That's why we do a thing called How to Read a News Story. That's why I'm constantly talking about how you can't just get your news from one source. You have to get it from a million different sources, and then you have to put it together. You have to piece it together, man. The truth is like a puzzle that has to be put together. There is no truth that drops into your lap. None. So tonight, according to Drudge, the New York Times is offering an apology to its flawed coverage. And I told you, the New York Times, the LA Times, USA Today, the Boston Globe, and paper after paper, broadcast establishment after broadcast establishment, carved this story a new one, man. They wouldn't know how to report this if it was a story of some guy sneezing after having himself a piece of cheese. They'd all get it wrong. Back in March, a young reporter working for a small newspaper called the Freelance Star, I think it's in Kentucky, his name was Rick Mercier. He wrote the following words. The media are finished with their big blowouts on the anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, and there's one thing they forgot to say, he wrote. We're sorry. Sorry we let unsubstantiated claims drive our coverage. Sorry we were dismissive of experts who disputed different stories and different things, who disputed White House charges against Iraq, and who disputed Iraq charges against the White House. Sorry we let a band of self-serving Iraqi defectors make fools of us. Sorry we fell for Colin Powell's performance at the United Nations. Sorry we couldn't bring ourselves to hold the administration's feet to the fire before the war when it really mattered. Maybe we'll do a better job next war. What he didn't write here was, sorry that we have rushed to the other end of the pendulum swing. Sorry that we have decided to just throw in with anybody that's critical of the White House, regardless of whether or not we can substantiate those stories. Sorry that we've decided to throw in with anybody who's critical of the United States' action in Iraq, if they're European in nature, because it sounds a lot hipper if we're quoting a European news agency. Sorry that we've decided to just become unrepentant and unmitigated bashers of American policy, because somehow, if it worked for the cats back in Vietnam, it ought to work for us. Iraq coverage flawed. Let me tell you what, not only is it flawed, they have created, they've concocted, they have utterly just materialized out of nothing whole stories, attitudes, whole impressions, whole perceptions about the war in Iraq. Why? Because they wanted to be just like their grandpappies ripping the lid off the story in Vietnam. They thought there was a big Vietnam story to be reported here. CIA assassinations. The toppling of governments through subversive means, espionage. Big corporate monies like Dow Chemical driving the production of napalm that destroys innocent life. I mean, all of the things that were in point of fact true about Vietnam, they wanted it to be true about Iraq. And what these imbeciles didn't understand, and when I say imbecile, I mean it in every sense of the word. You've got to be a colossal imbecile to have reported the Iraq war the way half of these guys have. When these imbeciles think that what they got here is another Vietnam, it just makes you want to cry. What are you guys going to do in your next job, man? Seriously, honest to God. Burger King is not hiring, man. I already checked. I hate to break the news, but when you imbeciles try to report this, and you're reporting on a war that is, in point of fact, the most morally prosecuted war in the history of warfare on the planet Earth, and you guys think you got another Vietnam, oh, are you ever lost, dude? I mean, I put up a little notice there on that bulletin board at the Youth Services Employment Agency. You know, maybe you could do somebody's lawn. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to follow what Matt Drudge has had on his on the homepage of his website, the New York Times, apologizing for its flawed coverage of the Iraq conflict. I don't know what exactly that entails, but I hope that they're going to come clean in a way that no newspaper really has. Many of them are quick to point out that they criticized the United States, at least after the fact, for Colin Powell's, quote, lies and Bush's, quote, lies. We're waiting for them to say we rushed to the other side of the news reporting spectrum by reporting any and all failure of the U.S. mission, and in the process dishonoring millions of American men and women fighting for the United States and the armed forces. I mean, doing it on purpose. It's one thing if you've got a credible editorial stance about a specific event being a failure. They can't make that claim. They cannot claim that the U.S. mission in Iraq is a failure. It's a point of view that they've got, and it's an opinion. It's like the L.A. Times this morning, chaos in Iraq. In other words, the reporters for newspapers, and I keep talking about newspapers as if anybody reads them anymore, but let me just pretend like they do. The reporters for newspapers that rush to the assumption that there's chaos in Iraq and that the mission's a failure, all they do is willingly dishonor the men and women that are fighting over there. It's kind of like Fatso, Michael Moore, saying that he supports the troops. You don't support the troops if you don't support what they do. Plain and simple. That's the lazy man's way of getting out of any potentially public image damaging criticism of our troops, because nobody wants to do that, right? Nobody wants to say, well, I don't support the troops and I think they're a bunch of baby killers. No one wants to go there, so they say, no, I support the troops, but what they're doing is crap. Oh, okay. Like, I really like you as a man, Phil. I think you're a great guy, but everything you stand for is dog do. Thanks very much for that pat on the back, man. It's time now on the Phil Henry Show for something called Life Imitates Phil. Pastor William Rennick, one of our characters, was on our show in March of this year, and he said the following: civil rights belongs to the black folks, and the gays are piling on the backs of the blacks. Gay people are claiming as theirs civil rights, and civil rights is only for black people. That's what Pastor Rennick said. Well, in this edition of Life Imitates Phil, we received the following email from a listener of ours, a backstage pass listener in Tejas, Texas. The Lone Star State. Phil, there was an anti-gay marriage rally in Arlington, Texas this past weekend, the 23rd and 24th of May, called Not On My Watch. The largely African-American crowd had signs saying being gay is not the same as being African-American and gay rights is not civil rights. No mention of them wanting the reparations fees that Pastor Rennick demanded, but the separation of gay and civil rights was clear. That's from Therese, backstage listener in Texas. Well, here it is, Life Imitating Phil. That was the event this past weekend. Here's Pastor Rennick from March of this year.
I'm a black man. I'm a black auctioneer here in the state of Georgia. And I'm very, very few. It's not very many black auctioneers around here. And I done had more white people help me get to where I need to be than I have had my own brother.
You a black guy? You said you're a black auctioneer.
Yes, I am. That's an interesting thing. I done had more black people help me get to the point where I am today, where I'm doing well.
We need to grow
as a country, man, and not
that's
just,
a good point, Joe.
You know, not just pull against each other.
All right, let Pastor Rennick
say
something.
You know, this
prison
is going on and on and on and on.
I want to just say stop.
All right, hold on, Joe. Let Pastor Rennick say something.
Brother, can I ask you a question? Could you do one of them, like what you do? Do you do that, hey, blah, 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 that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do that.
Can you do some of that for me? I just want to hear it because I love the entire lost art of the auction, and it's very American to me. Can you do some of that for me?
Yeah, I can do it, but
just do a little bit for me.
You trying to get? I want to make a point.
Hey, no, let me say something, brother. About
you
what
know,
you let me say what you about, brother. About what you would say.
That. We need to make a point here, man.
I want to come out
of this. We need to stop this because I'm tired of hearing about all this hatred.
Yeah,
my daughter comes home every day.
Now, here's a point I want to make.
And I'm trying to teach her different things, and you guys just keep this mess going on and on and on.
Joe, tonight I'm going to get on an airplane. I'm going to take my congregation on an Easter sabbatical to the Holy Land. My wife, Sister Bingham, and I, and our associate deacon, Richard Prelkop, we're staying at the Doubletree in Cairo, Egypt. And from there, we will go by way of Land Rover to the pyramid. And then by paddle boat up the Nile to the very ancient Suez Canal. And the entire experience will finish off with a cruise to Istanbul, and then on to Athens. And then we fly back to Los Angeles via Frankfurt. Now, what do you think about that?
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, that's the money we raised.
And they got
money
to do what you're talking about.
With these gay guys, we get the rights from them using the term civil rights. My church got to go on a whirlwind trip to the Middle East.
See, he's talking about making gay guys pay for the using the term civil rights.
That's silly.
Well, wait a second. You were sitting there going, you're going, old American. Well, I'm walking down the street to St. Augustine.
I mean, they are people, too, and they have rights, too. You know, I read the Bible. I do what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, we can't force our beliefs on everybody.
Brother, when you're
and they have their own beliefs. And I think we need to, you know, let them do what they want to do.
I know that, brother. But when you're sitting up there going, hey, how do we want for this piano? What are we going to get for this statue? And I'm out there getting my head cracked open by some cracker cop in St. Augustine. Well, you're saying some old lady, do you want me to wrap that newspaper for you? You want to take it like it is? What's that about?
All right. Look, Joe, you made some great points. I gotta go. And I have to say to you, Pastor Rennick, you really got to calm down a little bit. I mean,
calm down! I feel great!
What do you mean a whirlwind vacation to Egypt because you used all that money that the gay guys paid you for using civil... Are you trying to tell me you got some guys paying you?
I got a deal, yeah.
Well, where's the bread for the rest of the black folks?
What you talking about?
So in other words, you got some gay guys paying you off for using the term civil rights, and you're taking your wife to the, what is it, Doubletree Hotel in Cairo?
Word!
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry to...
Who's this?
Hold on.
The phone. Give me the phone. Mr. Henry, this is Clara.
Oh, Ms. Bingham, how are you?
I'm fine. Panserotic needs his nap right now.
Fine! You ain't gonna put me to bed, woman! I'm trying to make a point about a black man!
He is so wound up because we're going on a whirlwind vacation. Also, we have floor seats for a Laker game. So we are... trying to get ready for the Easter sabbatical.
Well, Ms. Bingham, I didn't mean to keep him up past his... It's only 10 minutes to 8 o'clock here on the West Coast.
This woman treated me like a child! It's like what I gotta do, suck myself and put my diaper on!
You go to bed right now. I need your hot milk and everything.
Hot milk? Thanks a lot! Now I do look queer!
He's very upset about his image.
I know he is upset about his image. He just got back from Atlanta, and he's got a little bit of a cold. So I want him to go to bed before we go,
Hey, Tom, I gotta take a nap at the airport!
Jesus, I forgot about that.
Pastor William Rennick. She's laying him down for his nap, but they're at the airport. How's he gonna do that, huh? There's a Life Imitates Phil on the old question about they had that rally, and I forgot about that. Thank you very much, Therese in Texas, for sending us that email, because they had a... And, you know, it's not my place to comment. I just got a little bit of an issue with white folks that are always going on about how blacks don't get it. You know what I mean? You hear these white people who are...
Let me explain to our African-American citizens how to get ahead.
You know, just keep it in your wallet, man. Just slip that Trojan back into your wallet, friend. Everybody gets what they gotta do to get to where they gotta go. We don't need anybody lecturing anybody. At least not on that level, okay? I mean, a few of us, we could use a little bit of an education. But it is very interesting that at this rally they had a bunch of black folks saying civil rights belongs to us. It just shows you that the numbskulls and bigots come in all colors, all patterns of all modalities, man. All prints. All cottons, all purpose, all washable. 1-800, I don't know what I just said, but I'm sure you get the essential. Just to that, 1-800-449-8686. Let me tell you what we got coming up on the program tonight. We'd like to thank Jay Sattis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police for joining us earlier about how he'll go to couple counseling if his wife gets a bosom enlargement, as he put it to us. We are going to have comments on the Scott Peterson case with Bud Dickman and Margaret Gray. Also, targeting Muslims. Why would anybody consider targeting Muslims in the war on terrorism? Why would the FBI target Muslim people just because 98.999% of the people arrested, indicted, and convicted of terrorism against the United States over the last 14 years just happen to be Muslims? What's that got to do with anything? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
There it is, man. I got it right here, baby. The lead editorial in Monday's New York Times applauds the news reported in the Times' own pages that the CIA is reassessing pre-war intelligence about Iraqi's unconventional weapons program. However, the failure so far to find any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the prime justification for going to war, has raised serious questions about the quality of American intelligence and even dark hints that the data may have been manipulated to support a preemptive war. If the government must re-examine whether data had been manipulated to support the war, surely the New York Times should conduct a similar post-war inventory of its own WMD reporter Judith Miller. Because Judith Miller, and you know, let's remember, folks, singling out a reporter, she works for the New York Times. Ain't that America's newspaper of record? That's what they say. the New York Times, America's newspaper of record. When you call yourself the newspaper record, what you're basically saying is all the rest of it is bullcrap. What we report here is the facts, Jack. Just the facts, baby. And guess what? The New York Times presented a very heavy case in favor of weapons of mass destruction based upon intelligence that their reporter was accessing in Iraq. And guess who her main source was? This Chalabi clown that the U.S. just raided his residence. You know, the former head of the Iraqi Governing Council? This guy was telling the New York Times there are weapons of mass destruction. The New York Times was reporting it to America. The United States government just raided this guy's house to find out where exactly is he getting his information, and who's he in bed with anyway? Now, remember that there are hints, very dark hints. You want to speak of dark hints? That this guy has communication with Tehran. You know where that is? Iran. Now, who has a bigger hatred for Saddam Hussein on the planet Earth, other than maybe certain members of our own populace, than Iran? The country that Hussein invaded, the country who was the beneficiary, shall we say, of Hussein's military expertise. They were at war for 8 years. They hate his guts, his living guts. They'll do anything to have that guy taken out. If you want to know where the source of all of this lousy intelligence was, you need look no further than them towel wrappers in Tehran. And that's the truth, Ruth. This guy Chalabi, they think was an... I don't care if that's how you pronounce his name. I don't know how you pronounce his name. Chalapi, Chalapi, whatever the hell. This guy apparently had some communique and possible intelligence exchange with Tehran. He was the source of the pre-war reporting of the New York Times. I'm not going to single out any reporter. The New York freaking Times. So if George Bush lied to you, so did the New York Times and a whole lot of other newspapers and broadcast agencies leading up to this thing. I'm going to say it again. I don't care if people are sick of hearing it. I'm going to keep saying it because somebody's got to say it. I'm not taking it as just sort of a self-evident and de rigueur acceptance of the way things are going here, that America's just a big evil entity and that George Bush lied. Let me tell you something. The New York Times lied. If Bush lied, the Times lied, the CIA lied, the LA Times lied, John Kerry lied, Madeleine Albright lied. You want me to go down the list again of all the names that I could bring up? Tom Daschle lied. You want to know who was fooled, who was tricked, and who were the biggest dumbcoughs in the history of the planet Earth? The whole American people. Because we bought the stuff hook, line, and sinker. But I'll tell you what the real issue is. It's not that anybody lied, folks. It's that the intelligence was lousy. There's a difference between lying and repeating lousy intelligence. When I say lousy, I mean it was no good. A lot of it had to do with the fact that Hussein wanted everybody to believe that he had weapons of mass destruction. Think about it. He wanted his neighbors to fear him. So he wanted nothing more than for them to think that he had weapons of mass destruction. All the better. They think that this guy is the Hitler reincarnated, man. They don't want to have any piece of this guy if they think he's got the ability to smoke him with one small scud. One small scud, one giant leap for mankind. So that's the other possibility. And, of course, when you bring that up, everybody is quick to rush to the world conspiracy theory that nobody will believe the United States could ever get any faulty information. America's perfect. America is all-powerful. America can do anything and be anything that it wants to be, so they must have lied. There's no way that America can make a mistake, unless, of course, it's an individual president invading a country. That's a mistake, but they really can't make any mistakes, just that kind of little tiny mistake, or whatever the hell it is they're trying to get us to believe, right? It couldn't possibly be that we just got some bad intelligence. And when I say bad intelligence, let's remember why. Because I got to keep going back on this over and over again. I feel like I'm standing in front of my classroom and you guys are spitting spitwads at each other. Okay, the class, pay attention. The CIA was defanged by the Carter administration as the result of some very nasty, nasty activities during the Vietnam War. What nasty activities are we talking about? We're talking about multiple assassinations of friendly leaders as well as foes. We're talking about drug running in order to raise money to buy weapons to give to friendly countries and friendly revolutionary or guerrilla groups. We're talking about the sale of cocaine in order to finance operations. We're talking about overlooking the drug running, for instance, of Emmanuel Noriega, so that Noriega could be our eyes and ears in Panama. And when Noriega outlived his usefulness, and when he decided, the same way that Hussein did, that he could somehow challenge the United States, that he'd gotten backstabbed by the U.S., that he wasn't given certain things that he was promised, he became just another chump, man. He's just like any other guy that they whack on The Sopranos, okay? You're not bigger than the corporation. The corporation's bigger than you. And what do I mean by corporation? I mean about the, I'm talking about the United States. And what is a corporation? It's a bunch of people. It's people.
Yeah, all these big corporations.
Okay, well, when you say big corporation, do you know what it is you're saying? You're talking about a bunch of little people, shareholders, little old ladies holding their purse, doing their knitting in the back of the shareholder meeting. We're talking about all kinds of people, the guys that work on the assembly line as well as the suits. We're talking about the guys that are out there busting their humps selling this garbage as well as the guys that are designing it. We're talking about your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother. We're talking about people, folks. And there's big corporations and little ones. Now, Noriega was used by the CIA as our, quote, eyes and ears in Panama. Well, he wasn't very good. We didn't like being taken advantage of. And when you cross the United States of America and read U.S. foreign intelligence, you're going to get your throat cut from one ear to the next, and that's exactly what happened to Noriega. Now do you get it? Now do you understand? Same thing happened to Hussein. We got hit on September the 11th, 2001, in part because we got religion as a people in the late 1970s. We decided, well, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to assassinate foreign leaders. We're going to be no more drug running, none of that stuff. And we're going to do it all cool and be really groovy and nice and sweet and all sweetness and light, baby. Yeah, you know what that got us? It got us 3,000 people buried in rubble because you got to deal with bad people to find out about bad people. You got to cut some deals with some nasty bastards in order to get some information. We have now returned to that kind of activity. Of course, when you let the American people see what it looks like, they got all upset about it. As in the prison photos in Iraq, which have yet not proven any breach of international norm whatsoever, have not shown any murder, any rape, any sodomy, nothing. But you are looking, ladies and gentlemen, in those photographs at the regular form of CIA interrogation that goes on all over the world. And like I said, it's happening to Saddam Hussein right now. So if we're really all upset about how prisoners are being treated, anybody want to get in and see Saddam, man? See if he wants a care package of cookies and maybe some cigarettes? Bet you he ain't doing too good right now. So there you go, folks. Were we lied to? No, we just got lousy intelligence. And top of the list, the New York Times. Well, shut my mouth. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I haven't talked about Scott Peterson, but I'd like to right now. The Scott Peterson trial. This is the trial, just to refresh your memory, that will be starting in a few days. So you'll be hearing tons and tons about this guy in the coming days. He's accused of murdering his wife. They always like to say his pregnant wife, because she was pregnant. And it is a particularly odious crime. It's one thing to murder somebody that you love. It's another thing to murder your own wife, and it's still another to murder your own wife when she's pregnant with your child. Now, this is what this man is accused of. That's about as low as it gets, right? I mean, it don't get any lower than that. Murder your pregnant wife? And not only that, but allegedly dismember part of her? And then, like, dump her in the bay? The San Francisco Bay? Now, according to his attorneys, and his attorney, one of them, is a fairly reputable gentleman by the name of Mark Garagos, or Garagos, depending upon who's saying it. He is citing misconduct now. by the prosecution. They withheld important information just last week that could clear his client. What is it? Just last week, he says the prosecution turned over reports disclosing an interview with a witness who saw Lacey Peterson being pulled into a van by at least two men. This eyewitness, who has worked as a sworn peace officer, has apparently been known to the prosecution since December of 2002, yet he was only interviewed within the last week, the motion states. The witness confirmed his sighting of a woman he identified as Lacey and her two abductors. However, the Modesto Police Department chose to ignore this former peace officer's report, said the attorney. This clearly establishes that the prosecution's conduct was undertaken in bad faith. Now, it is very possible that Scott Peterson is just another victim in what is the increasing Nazification of the American justice system. I think this guy's being railroaded. Railroaded by a bigoted, biased, prejudiced, racist bunch of sycophantic, self-serving, blood-sucking, no-good, low-down, egg-sucking, chicken-stealing dogs that work in the United States Justice Department and the U.S. system of justice around the country. And this cat, let me be serious with you for a minute. A few years ago, you may remember, it was in the 1960s, a man came home, he was a doctor. This was reported in all the major newspapers. He was convicted for the murder of his own wife, and in point of fact, he claimed he didn't do it. He had come home from a job that he had at a Chicago-area hospital. He found, he said, his wife beaten to death. He said he had a fight with a man, and the man got away. Police arrested him. His name was Richard Kimball. Now, anyway, that guy got railroaded too, didn't he, baby?
Wait a minute.
Hold on, bud. I'm doing a bit, man. Yes, Richard Kimball, man. The one-armed man, they never found that guy till the last episode of the show, then they made that movie out of it.
Hold on for a minute. Turn it off.
Don't put your hand on my board. What do you want?
There's a TV show.
Look, Dickman.
No, it was. It was a television show starring Richard Kimball.
Look, stupid. First of all, it didn't star Richard Kimball. That was the character the guy played. Number two.
No, but it's a TV show.
Number two. I know it was a TV show. I'm making a joke.
Richard Kimball was the man that starred in it, and he...
I'm making a joke, bud, about Scott Peterson.
He killed his wife.
I don't know whether he did or not. I think he did. I'm making a joke, man. Hold on for a minute. Hi, Phil Henry Show.
Phil, hi. I love your program.
Yes, ma'am.
I think Bud's right. That was a television program.
I know it was a television program. What do you... I know it.
Well, then why do you say that it happened?
I'm joking around, man. I'm doing a satirical comment on the Scott Peterson thing. That's right, man. It was a one-armed man. Get... Hold on. Hi. Can you hold on, ma'am?
Yes.
Hello, Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, the show is called The Fugitive, and...
I got that already, man. I understand it was The Fugitive.
Well, what are you yelling for?
Can't I do one thing on the air here without cats coming in and weighing in on whether or not I'm, you know...
But Mr. Hall, I tried to tell him.
I did hear Bud tell him, Mr. Hall.
Who am I speaking with?
Yes, my name is Margaret Gray.
Oh, yes, Miss Gray, I read your column.
Yes. Anyway, Bud told him that it was a television program, and Mr. Henry seemed to be completely stupid to that fact, and...
No, I'm not stupid to the fact. I heard it. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, that movie was rad. It was called The Fugitive, and it...
Would you hang these people up, man? I know what it's called.
What are you getting all mad about?
Yeah, what are you getting mad for?
Bill, why are you getting so upset? I hate to see it like this.
Look. First of all, I know it was a television show. I was making a kind of a satiric point.
What is it with you with this satire stuff? Would you just do a talk show? Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Phil, I think he's right.
No one knows what I'm talking about.
No! It's a satiric comment about the Just Talk Straight.
Mr. Henry, you need to talk straight.
Hold on. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I heard you talking about the one-armed man show.
Sir, I'm in the middle of it.
I wanted to wait. I loved so very lovely and deeply when he jumped off the dam. And he just, what's it, Tommy Lee, what's his name? My wife's here, Bart.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones said he did a Peter Pan. It was just a wonderful...
Thank you very much.
You hang up on him?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Phil, anyway, that was a television show.
I know that.
Look, I just want to say, you might have been thinking about the murder in Dallas, Texas, of an oil man.
That was a TV show. That was Dallas.
No. That really happened.
No, it didn't. That's...
Yes, it did.
Phil, that the man that J.R. Ewing?
Yeah, there was the television show Dallas.
No, that actually happened. You're thinking of the assassination of Kennedy.
Yeah, that was a TV show. That was bitching. And it...
Are you some kind of an idiot? That was a real thing that happened.
No, it wasn't. It was a movie of the week. What a moron!
Phil, the assassination of Kennedy was a Hallmark Hall of Fame special.
Thank you. And what do you want?
Mr. Hall called. He said you're supposed to finish the bit.
Well, he's calling up and complaining.
He said to finish the bit. He said you're going to get in trouble if you don't.
All right, I heard you. The one-armed man. Richard Kimball's looking for him. Maybe Scott Peterson's looking for the same guy.
Man, you're supposed to conclude it by saying this has been a satirical bit.
This has been a satirical bit. Yes, David.
Jesus, that was not funny at all.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man, for helping out.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Kill me. It's my fault. Hey, bud, you hear that?
Yeah, it's my fault.
No, it ain't your fault, man. You guys came right at...
Talk much?
Gee, what a retard, man. What are you trying to say? Spit it out, man. Cat got your tongue?
God, you're so original, dude, but that cat got your tongue line, huh?
So what are you trying to say?
I said I had a point before you guys came and critiqued it halfway through it. Thanks a lot.
Just finish the bit, will you?
I finished it.
Ain't you going to get to the funny part? You know, you really need to calm down and watch that stuttering problem. I thought you took classes for that.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Well, Phil, this is Chris Orton. I just want to say that although Harrison Ford was Ossesi in that movie, I really liked him a lot.
Get these fags off the air.
All right, thank you very much, sir. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to... Oh, turn it off, man. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, our backstage pass at just $6.95 gives you access to all of the material on our website. We've got years and years and years of the classic improv sort of reality radio that we've pioneered on this show where I'm not even going to explain it. It's the point. You know, there's a period there where we used to explain the show every night. People didn't get it then. They don't get it now. What the hell's the point? In any event, you got to listen to this show for a lot longer than you think you did to understand what we do. But for $6.95, you can get a backstage pass and kind of get caught up on a lot of the things that we've done down through the years. We also have great gifts in our souvenir shop. And when I say gifts, Father's Day is right around the corner. How about that brand new 16-can cooler, the Phil Henry Show cooler, complete with an AM FM radio that is removable. You can zip it on or zip it off of the cooler. It has a shoulder strap. It's got a carrying handle. It's an insulated cooler. 16 cans of Dad's favorite soft drink or beer. You can also put some sandwiches in there. I mean, you got to have this for whatever you're doing, golfing, going to the beach, riding around in the car, whatever Dad's got in mind. Great Father's Day gift. We've got also for, you know, the girlfriends and the ladies in the house, we finally got a ladies' T-shirt that we've been asked about. It's the I Love Phil ladies' tee. Get that, baby. It's pink. It's all that. And then you can buy the Best of the Phil Henry 2003 CD. All of the money that we raise from the sale of the CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And it's a very, very worthwhile organization of people who help kids that we don't call them runaways. We call them throwaways. These are kids that have left home because they really can't live there anymore. And frankly, their parents don't care whether they do or not. Can you imagine that? It happens every day in this country, and it happens in homes that are well-to-do. Wealthy families, white families, black families, all kind of families. The kids are just thrown out into the street, man, because guess what? They just aren't cute and cuddly anymore. They're not babies anymore. You can't bounce them on your lap anymore. They're teenagers. They're grotesque, ugly, violent, confused, conflicted, pimply, spike-haired, purple-fingernailed teenagers. Now, who wants one of them around, right? Oh, they're just a little too tough to handle for some people, so they get pitched out into the street. A lot of these kids find their way out west, where else? Hollywood, so they can become movie stars, but in the interim, they're eating out of a garbage can and contracting AIDS. In the process, some very, very great people, if you want to talk about great people, the people that started my friend's place are everything that great is. You want to talk about the Pat Tillmans and the Nicholas Bergs? I'm talking about the people down at my friend's place that work on behalf of these kids and try to get them squared away. When you buy a Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, the money goes to them over at my friend's place. You can buy it online, or you can call 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. We've got a Bobby Dooley flashback. Can we play it next hour? We'll be playing it next hour from our show last night. Bobby was on to talk about the Golden Retriever is a gorgeous dog, and you should feel honored if she brings it into your home and it takes a crap in your carpeting right in your living room. It should be an honor for you. Now, here is another one of these stories that just drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. I want to rip my teeth out, as the great Marlon Brando said in Apocalypse Now. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. That guy up in Portland, that Muslim, and I think he's a white guy, he got cleared by the FBI. They said he didn't have anything to do with the Spanish train bombing. And, of course, he did the predictable thing that everybody does now. When the FBI, in an effort to bring in suspects, question, and perhaps detain, mark the wrong guy, well, my God, we're living in a police state. In fact, this guy's really unoriginal and dull attorney said this is nothing more than ethnic profiling, and some member of some Muslim group said, ha-ha, they're bringing him in because he's a Muslim. That's right, he's a white guy, but he converted to Islam. They raided his home, they thought his fingerprint matched one on a train station, and yada, 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 yada. Now, you might be asking yourself the very same question that I asked myself. What's the FBI doing involved in the Madrid train bombing? What's that got to do with anything? What's that about? Well, Phil, I mean, the FBI... Whoa. What's the FBI doing involved with helping and assisting in the investigation of the Madrid train bombing? That's their problem. The Spanish authorities, don't they have some kind of a police force over there? Last time I checked, they did. What are they doing? They taking a snooze out there? They taking a little bit of a fiesta? Or a siesta? Whatever the hell they call it? I don't know. You know, what is it, 1 o'clock and they're all... You don't get it, Mr. Henry. In Europe, of course, we love to have our siesta. We don't have any... Oh, meantime, just put the Yanks on it. Is that it, huh? We'll just be over here yanking it while you guys are taking a little nap? A nappy poo? Well, anyway, here's what happened. The Spanish got a hold of a fingerprint that they could not identify. They didn't know who it belonged to. Now, nobody is saying that they're inept. God, far be it from me. I won't say it, and I didn't hear anybody else saying it, because they're just the Spaniards, and they get to do whatever the hell it is they want to do, because they're Europeans, and they're all so cultured, and they're so hip, and they're so with it, and they get it about the world, and we're a bunch of dumbass Americans. But when you're too stupid to figure out what a fingerprint matches, send it on over to the FBI. They'll do it. Well, they sent it to the FBI. Now, the Spaniards couldn't identify it. The FBI thought it matched one of many. And one of the fingerprints that they thought it might match belonged to this white Muslim convert in Oregon by the name of Mayfield. Is that what this clown's name is? Brandon Mayfield. They took a look at this guy. And they detained this guy. but they found out that the print did not match him. In the meantime, guess what the dumb Spanish did? Oh, they figured it out. It matches some Algerian cat by the name of Ohane Saud. Now listen to this, folks, and if you can follow me, I respect you. If you can't, well, you know. This guy's attorney doesn't like the fact that Muslims are being targeted, profiled, if you will. Meanwhile, the Spaniards have identified the fingerprint as belonging to a cat named Ohane Daoud from Algeria, living in Spain. Now, does anybody want to take a bet as to whether the guy's Muslim or not? Huh? Would you care to? I'll tell you what. I'll give you 10 to 1 on $100 that he is. I'll take he is, but I'll give you 10 to 1 if you don't think he is. I'll give you 10 to 1 on $100. I'll give you 10 to 1 on $10,000. Oh, but you see, we're targeting Muslims. Never mind that over the last 15 years, 98% of the individuals that have been arrested, indicted, convicted of terrorist acts against the United States or Americans internationally have indeed been self-professed Muslim. We are some kind of a Nazi bunch of bastards if we somehow keep an eye on Muslims, because that means that we're profiling, it means we're targeting, and it means we're just a bunch of big bad guys. And on top of everything else, when the Spanish can't solve their own crimes, Yanks are pretty good at, like, investigating terrorism. Here, why don't we send the print over to you and you can take all the heat? Thanks a lot. You know what? I have now replaced the Italian war salute, which is the arms raised in surrender. We're not knocking the Italians anymore. We're giving that to the Spaniards, okay? You guys have inherited the mantle that the Italians had. Wear it well.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-86. Now, Phil Hendry.
You know, it is more likely. Now, listen, because this is the truth. This is why that story I was talking to you about with this Muslim guy up in Portland having been detained by the FBI, and it turns out he wasn't the guy. And this is another example of how the rights of Americans are being just stripped away. You know, here's the FBI trying to do a job keeping terrorists out of this country. They take a look at a guy who is Muslim, who's white, whose fingerprint possibly matches one that was found on some luggage in Madrid. They said there was a likely match of many that it could have been a match to. Meanwhile, they're taking over the job because the Spanish can't figure out what it is. And then the Spanish do figure out what it is. And guess who it is? It's some guy that lives in Spain, and he's a Muslim guy, right? By the way, as an aside, is anybody accusing the Spanish authorities of targeting or profiling Muslims? No, I don't think so. They don't do that over there, do they? Only we do it. That's right, only we do it. So the guy went inside, and then they released him when they found out he wasn't the guy, and he said it was so humiliating and so terrible and so embarrassing. Like, suddenly being embarrassed is a violation of your human rights. Are you insane? Where do we live, man? Are we living in Oz? All of a sudden, if you have a little bit of squirting diarrhea as the result of an experience in a police station, a war crime has been committed, and you have to see an attorney, and you must get reparations for anybody that ever had a loose bowel movement as the result of being scared by a cop. If that's the case, man, they owe me millions. Millions. I mean, that's where we're at. This guy's talking about, and it was just, it's humiliating and embarrassed. They're all using these trigger words that were originally used with the Iraqi, so-called Iraqi abuse photos. Humiliating and abused, and this abuse word used to be terrorized. Now it's abuse, 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 abuse. I was abused. Really? Why? What happened? I had to pay, you know, she asked me to pay for the date. I was abused. So the guy's a Muslim. The FBI targeted him because I think it's a red flag. A white guy recently converted to Islam. It's a red flag. I don't know what else to tell you. Any reasonable cop is going to look at that. He just is. Well, it shouldn't be. Well, there's the way it ought to be and there's the way it is, baby. So which way do you want to have it? I say we get through the way it is, then we can get on to the way it ought to be. But here's the bottom line on all of this. And if you don't think that this is true, trust me. It is far more... You see, I am getting a little fed up, personally, and I'm just speaking for myself because of recent experiences that I've had. I'm a little fed up with being put under a microscope by, shall we say, certain Muslim groups all ready to have me fired from my job or taken off a radio station by bringing up perfectly legitimate points, and yet they haven't got the guts to confront the individuals who they ought to be confronting, Al-Qaeda and these terrorist Muslim organizations. I mean, it's easier for these homegrown American Muslim groups to start banging all over a talk show host, beating up on some cat that's on the radio, than to go after the people that are really making them look bad. You think I'm making you look bad? You think I'm bringing up points that are somehow hateful or originate in some bigoted point of view? I'm just speaking the truth here, sports fans. The people that make the Muslims in America and the world over look bad are Muslims, other Muslims, other guys at least that claim they are. But you think they're going to confront them? No. It's kind of like Italian-Americans getting pissed off at the guys that produce Sopranos. Why don't you go sue the mafia? That's a really good place to start. They make Italian-Americans look bad. Well, I think the mafia does a pretty good job of that, too. Have you thought about maybe going after those guys? No. That's a little scary, isn't it? It's easy to bash the U.S. government or a talk show host or any other relatively benign group, because what are they going to do about it, man? What's the U.S. government really going to do to you, man? What, are they going to look into your income taxes? You can go through life with all these paranoid perceptions of what Big Brother's doing to you, black helicopters, and all that other balding white guy paranoia. Or you can take a look at the facts straight on as they exist. The only people that are making Muslims look bad are other so-called self-professed Muslims. Those are the ones that are making legitimately law-abiding and peace-loving and all those other fine little description Muslims look bad. Not me. But here's the bottom line that I'm trying to get to. It is far more likely, if you want to know the America that we live in today, I'm going to tell you what the America is that we live in today. It's far more likely that I could lose my job and be unemployed for what I say on this radio station about Muslims than it is likely any Muslim will be falsely arrested in the United States. Now, if you don't believe that, you know, you don't have to believe it, but if you don't believe it, you're living in a dreamland. You're living in a dream world that is constructed by yourself, and it is only constructed to reinforce your preconceived ideas about Big Brother. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with reality. The reality is this, and I'll repeat it again. It's like I said when Margaret Cho was running her big fat yap about the Patriot Act, when she said the following: I'm more afraid of the Patriot Act than I am of terrorism. What do you got to be worried about, baby? This chick's on television, man. She's in movies. She's on radio. She's all over the freaking place. The rest of us that are trying to earn a living, like me, you know, I am one word away from getting canned if I use the word raghead in the wrong context. I could be out of a job, blacklisted off of the radio forever in this country. If you don't think it happens. Because I use the word the wrong way. I'm far more likely for that to happen than some Muslim getting popped for being a terrorist. Way more likely. In fact, as a point of fact, as the result of the actions of the federal government, there are more guys walking the streets today who were once on the radio because of something they said than people that have been busted because they're Muslim and they were falsely accused of some sort of terrorist act. Far more people out there who can't earn a living as the result of something they have said publicly. Frankly, half of them deserve it, but that's not the point. You lose your job because you lose your job on the radio because you are talking about sex in an inappropriate way in a forum that maybe is being heard by children. You deserve to lose your job, you dumbass. But you lose your gig in this country because some Muslim group decided that you're a bigot, even though they couldn't spell the word. And they petitioned the radio station to have you pulled off the air. And the radio station, not wanting to be perceived as a bigoted entity itself, pulls you off the air without any concern whatsoever for the truth or at least the intent of what you were trying to say. That, my friends, is Big Brother. That's the real terror in America. I mean, that's the real profiling, if you want to know. If you want to know what the real profiling is... I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not asking you guys to have sympathy for me. I'm just giving it to you straight as it pertains to me. I mean, it's happened to me. You don't think it's happened? I mean, I've gotten complaints, especially since the Iraq war started. You better watch the way you talk about Muslims. Wait a second. Is this some kind of a problem? Well, we've gotten complaints from Muslim groups. Are you trying to tell me with a straight face that Muslim groups in this country and Canada haven't got the guts, I mean the guts, to go after the self-professed Muslim extremists that are committing these vicious acts in the name of Islam, but they want to get me fired from my gig? Are you trying to tell me that that's what's going on and that you cats are actually considering it? I don't even want to be on the radio if that's the case. This isn't even the business that I got into in 1973 when it was about having a couple of laughs and entertaining people. This has become the deadly serious business of reactionary, censoring technocrats who don't even have the first clue of what it is that I try to do on the air. All they know is whether or not it's selling, whether or not we can get an advertiser for it, whether or not it's got any numbers, whether or not it's got any ready. And I tell you something. Even if it had buffo box office numbers, man, even if I was number one across the board in every single city that I was in, it ain't going to save me. Look what happened to Howard Stern. Those are the times we're living in. That's the truth, Ruth. Now, I think there's a big difference, and I could be wrong. I've been in jail, and it is very unpleasant, but it ends. You're out, and then you're walking the street. But you lose your job, man, and you don't have an ability to support a family. People kill themselves behind that kind of stuff. You know what happened in the 50s when individuals were outed as communists. For whatever reason, they were communists, good or bad, or when they were young, or when they were old, or maybe they aren't anymore. But the fact of the matter was, to be called a communist in the 50s was like being called a child molester today. It was that shameful. And these people, as a result, lost their livings. Now, that's what we're talking about, and that kind of extremism is not coming, necessarily, from the federal government. Forget about FCC and Michael Pollan, that little twit trying to impress his father. I'm talking about people speaking the truth about the war on terror, and the reactionary people out there that are so ready to have you canned because they don't want to be perceived as bigoted or racist, even though you are making a very clear statement about the reality of profiling, if you will, or targeting Muslims. I just explained it. 99.999% of the individuals engaged in terrorist acts against this country or Americans around the world right now are Muslim. Or at least they're self-professed. I don't know the difference. They tell me that they are. I guess they are. Or are you telling me that they're not? So naturally, law enforcement takes a look at them. But we're not supposed to. Can't say anything about it. Can't make a comment on it, and you can't talk about the validity of it, because otherwise, you're a bigot. So there it is. I just laid it out for you, folks. The way that...
What are you doing now?
That's music to sort of give a punctuation.
I can't hear you. Turn it down.
What?
What'd you play that for?
That's to give it punctuation. That was a really great speech you gave.
I'm not giving a speech, but it's just a monologue going into
He's just spit it out.
You're going to start with me now?
What are you trying to say?
It's a monologue going into the spot break.
I know. It's really great. So I want to get punctuation.
Forget about giving it punctuation, bud. I don't need any punctuation. I said it. I'm going to go to a commercial break.
Just say, okay, I'm all done.
What?
Just say, okay, I'm all done.
Why?
Just say it.
Okay, I'm all done.
That is great, Phil.
Can you turn it off? Turn it off! Giving it punctuation.
That's great.
1-800... Yeah?
I thought it was a great idea, Phil.
It gives it punctuation, Mr. Hall.
Good idea, bud. Go ahead. I'm Phil Hendry, and that's one man's opinion.
I'm Phil Hendry. That's one man's opinion.
We'll be back with more on The Phil Hendry Show.
That's great, Mr. Hall.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, Bobby Dooley will be with us to talk about her golden retrievers. And these golden retrievers are AKC, pedigreed, and they are just the most gorgeous thing in the world, and you should feel honored if they come into your house and take a dump in your living room. Anyway, she's on to talk about that, and she also said that one of the neighbor kids came over and played with them with a dirty tennis ball. Now, these are AKC golden retrievers, and how dare this kid play with her dogs with a dirty tennis ball, and so she forced the kid to stick the ball in his mouth to see how he liked it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. In a moment, entertainment news. Nathan, hello.
Yeah, Phil.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, I got to say, I love what you're doing, and you crack me up just about every night when I get to listen to you.
Thank you.
But I'm not really understanding how you're coming to a difference between people in the 50s when they were blacklisted for being communists and people nowadays when they're labeled as terrorists, because, you know, you can lose your job.
No, I wasn't saying that. And, I was saying that I'm saying that I'm the guy that's going to lose my job.
Right.
Because I said something about the Islamic community, or I might use a word, a pejorative, in relation to Muslim terrorists that the Islamic community in America thinks is in reference to them. And even though I try to explain it, the nervous people that run broadcasting these days won't even hear it. They'll have me off of the radio stations, and I could conceivably be out of a job because of something
right.
I said that made perfect sense, but just decided to be taken in a negative way by the Islamic community. Because they don't have the guts to take on the people that are really making them look bad, the so-called Muslim terrorists.
Right.
Now tell me what I just said there that doesn't make sense. I mean,
well, that all makes sense. That makes sense because I think you're exactly right. Is that the Muslim terrorists? Yeah, they are the bad ones, and those are the people, you know, like crazy fanatical abortion clinic bombing Christians. You know, it's not necessarily maybe the, you know, I mean, they would give Christians a bad name.
Well, I like those people. What's wrong with them? I think they're very nice, and I have a lot of them over for barbecues.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's the extreme. See, but what's happening, man, is I've personally had to deal with this. I mean, I have personally had to deal with this fallout from certain Muslim groups. Don't like the way I talk about Islam, right? I'm saying, wait a minute, this is insane, man. This is insane that you guys are coming after me. I mean, I've had people threaten to pull me off their stations, this kind of thing. So what are you guys, nuts? It's not about me. It's about the cats that are really making you look bad. These individuals that, you know, are going over, going around the world in the name of Islam and committing these violent acts. So that's the only point. So it's true, man. I mean, it's more likely that I'm going to lose my gig than the average Muslim American will go to jail or even be arrested for any kind of suspicious activity. Thank you, sir, for your call. This just in, CBS has announced that they still have more old people watching their network than any other. Hey, way to do it, baby. Yeah! Yeah! That's great. Yes, more old fossils are tuning into CBS than ever before for such soul-stirring fare as Joan of Arcadia. I grew up in Arcadia, man, so don't bring that mess in here. I grew up, and there wasn't no chick around there like that. If there was, it would have happened for me a long time before 19, I'll tell you that. Also, such great shows that are coming on in the fall, Clubhouse, about a bat boy on a baseball team. Let me give you a prediction about that. That thing is dead. And how do I say this? Christopher Lloyd, I loved him in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Back to the Future. Is he really starting to get on your nerves or what? Especially that football opening that he did for the Super Bowl. Lloyd, something's wrong, man. I think you need to re-up your effexor. How about this one? Still Standing. What a stiff. And then finally, a new show they're going to have on Dr. Vegas. Now, here's one that really kind of gets us where we live. Now, this is reality, folks. The show's called Dr. Vegas. It actually stars two actors that I love, Rob Lowe, and I do love Rob Lowe as an actor, and Joe Pantoliano, or Pants Me, or something. And now, this is a drama about an unconventional physician. Well, why is he unconventional? Here's why. He takes a gamble when he leaves behind the world of emergency medicine to become the in-house doctor at a high-end casino in Las Vegas. From him. Yeah, that sounds like a real risk, man. That's a risk, isn't it? Going from working like 48-hour emergency shifts to having your own private clinic in a penthouse in Vegas. And you know, I got some more showgirls you're going to have to give a heart check to. No, please, not that. Yay, here she comes. Chesty Morgan and the girls, they're coming in, man. Whether you like it or not. Dr. Billy Grant attends to... Sounds like a very hero, TV hero name, isn't it? Billy Grant. Either that or it's Lou Grant's kid.
I'm Billy Grant. I became a doctor. Now I'm like with strippers and stuff.
He attends to the round-the-clock medical needs of guests, employees, and their families amid the lures of Sin City. The doctors... Yeah, those are the people that really need help, man. Slob alcoholics that are crawling in and out of casinos and their rugrat kids. And he attends the round-the-clock medical needs, and then the doctor's always in when it comes to catering to the often frivolous medical requests of his good friend and boss, Tommy Canterna, played by Pantoliano. Naturally, he runs a casino, and he's an Italian-American. But, that's not CBS's fault. So many old people watch CBS because The Price is Right is still on the air, so that's... Keep that one on there, Les, man. You get a hit. Don't ever dye your hair, Barker. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association on our show yesterday to talk about the pleasures of being the owner of two AKC, that's American Kennel Club pedigreed golden retrievers, the most beautiful dog in the world. And by gosh, when it comes into your house and craps on your rug, you consider it an honor to go into the kitchen and get some towels. You just think it's great. Well, a little boy in the neighborhood came to play with the dogs, but he came with a dirty old tennis ball. And when she saw this kid throwing the dirty tennis ball to her dog, she came out and made the kid put it in his mouth. How would you like to go and fetch a dirty tennis ball?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold. Mm-hmm.
I think you are ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your dog must be an awful lot more intelligent than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who does this to a child is ignorant.
What did I do to a child?
To have that child put that tennis ball in the child's mouth.
Well, I was teaching him a lesson not to put that into the mouth of two pedigreed animals.
What difference does it make if it's a pedigree or whatever? A dog is a dog is a dog. I am an animal lover.
Well...
But I certainly wouldn't treat a child like that.
Let me tell you a little bit about Boomer and Sandy, Marianne.
I don't care about Boomer and Sandy. Sandy.
These dogs listen when their names are called. They know where their water dishes are.
So what? Mine do, too. But I certainly wouldn't treat
them. Do they know when they're
like
hungry?
That.
They know when they are tired. They're very special.
They know when they're hungry, and they know when they're tired, and they know when they're special. Every dog knows that.
Exactly.
Not every dog.
Ma'am, your dog, I hate to say this, but your dog is more intelligent than you are.
What we do at Western Estates is we have a crash program in getting to know our dogs. The animals are allowed into your home very briefly. Of course, if we get any pushback, that turns into a big thing.
And well, what do you mean pushback? If I don't want the dog in my house...
Well, why wouldn't you want two pedigreed AKC golden retrievers in your home?
Well, maybe because they crap on the rug.
So?
So, can I ask,
so
ma'am?
So what? Yes?
Can I ask you, what is the difference? I know what an AKC and a pedigree are, of course.
Yes.
But I have rescued pets from the animal shelter.
Well, you don't sound like you love animals.
I love animals.
You've been talking about Boomer and Sandy as if they're garbage. And I find that awful.
No, I'm not. I didn't say they were garbage. I said they're more intelligent than you are.
Well, no, but you said... If my dogs did their business in your home, it would be a statement on your personality. They'd be marking territory against you.
So in other words, you're saying that when the animals do their business on someone's rug, they don't like that person?
Yes, that's true. Well, she can laugh if she wants.
You're sick. You are sick.
No, you know something? You're sick.
You shouldn't even have pets. You're too sick to have pets.
You know
Goodbye.
Something? We have two $1,400 retrievers.
Well,
if
you know
jealous,
what?
If you're jealous, that's your problem.
That $1,400 must be an awful lot of money to you because you keep bragging about it. Well, who cares how much you pay for your dogs?
Because our animals are special, I think is the word.
Every animal is special, ma'am.
Sure. You're trying to tell me that some beat-up, run-over cat is as special as my dog?
Every
Forget
animal
it.
Is special.
Forget it. Some cat. No way is a cat equal to a dog.
Bill Henry Show. Comedy Gold.
In what in blazes? I'm sure. So? So what?
So what?
So what? Dog comes into your house? I mean...
it's not funny.
All right, sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. American Bandstand's making a comeback. Man, the applause is definitely on that one, isn't it? American Bandstand? Are you nuts? You can't call it American Bandstand. Who do you think you are, Clark? Look, you made a good run once. It was a pretty good run. 30 years, American Bandstand was on the air as kids danced the night away to their favorite teen hit. You can't even call it American Bandstand. Nobody knows what a bandstand is. But are you trying to tell me that you're going to stick the name American on it? Who do you think you are, anyway, pushing the jingoistic kisser of America into the faces of the people of the world yet again? America this and America that. American Bandstand. American Patriot. American Beauty. I'm sick and tired of it. American Dad. Yeah, you too, McFarlane. You got no right, man. You can't call it America. I think it ought to be called the place where the turds live. Turdland Bandstand. There you go. That's a good place, and that way we can finally absolve ourselves of all the terrible crimes we've committed against humanity that everyone else gets to commit, but we don't. So we'll call it Turdland Bandstand, coming up tonight at 3:30 or whatever the hell you want to do. I can't, you know, watching kids dance, man, it was boring for me when I was a kid. They're going to bring that back again? I'm sitting there, I'm watching all these kids dancing. So what, man?
So what?
So what? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. In the sports world, the National Football League would like to have a team back in Los Angeles by 2008, Commissioner Paul Tagliabue said on Tuesday. He said the league owners were pushing for a decision on a stadium site by next spring, giving the NFL the time it needs to return a franchise to the country's second-largest television market by 2008. Tagliabue had no comment on the question, what if no one in Los Angeles gives a flying rip if there's a team there or not? When asked, what do you think you should do if when a football team does move back to Los Angeles, the people there react with a collective, huge, oxygen-sucking yawn? Tagliabue shrugged and went over to where the broccoli and the ranch dip was. The league, which has not had a team in the Los Angeles area since the Rams departed for St. Louis 10 years ago, has been working with groups representing sites at Carson, the Coliseum, the Rose Bowl, Irwindale, and the middle of the Death Valley Desert. Everyone's been working at this, Tagliabue said. Unfortunately, it is the National Football League, so it's going to take some time. There ain't enough brain power in this room to get a vegetable hybrid going, let alone figure out where a football team's going to be. One thing we do have are a lot of guys with a lot of money, and we know how to make more. League owners have made no decision about expanding to a 33rd team or moving a troubled franchise to Los Angeles because they've been drinking too heavily throughout the entire weekend in Palm Springs. Indianapolis owner Jim Irsay, whose team is about as bad as they get, while drunk, discussed this with community and state leaders. But the scotch on his breath left everybody just a bit faint. Meanwhile, Tagliabue said that the league plans to honor Pat Tillman this season. He said, and I quote, "We'd like to honor a guy like Pat Tillman since we rarely have men like that in the National Football League. As a matter of fact, we only had one. Hey, wait a minute, that was Pat Tillman," said Tagliabue, end quote. We previewed some of the initial thinking we have about paying tribute. The idea here is to have a proper balance between respecting what Pat did, but at the same time, disrespecting all the other troops that are there, because we don't want to be out of step with all of the media and people in America. So while Pat Tillman did a great thing, the National Football League doesn't want to come right out and say, hey, he was fighting for a very righteous cause, because that might be too controversial. Let's support those troops. Well, do you support what they did? Well, now I, Hey, has Tubba Guts responded to my challenge to him, Michael Moore? Now, his agent is a guy named Ari Emanuel, and he's running around with all the, you know, dollar signs clicking in his kisser about when they bring that movie over here, just how much money that flick's going to make and how they're going to divvy it up, you know, how much fat ass is going to get as opposed to the Endeavor agency and how much the business manager will get and how much the manager gets and how much Moore's lover will get, whoever he is, and how much, you know, I mean, how much they'll put into the next movie. But, hey, they're not war profiteering, are they? No, not at all, man. George Bush, he's the big war profiteer. But Michael Moore? Nah, he just went over there and took some pictures of some caskets, interviewed some soldiers, basically used the World Trade Center tragedy to his advantage, manipulated the whole historical record, twisted the whole thing around so that the average dumbbell in America will go and see it and say, wow, I didn't know it was like that. And then they'll go to cocktail parties or to some neighborhood dope party and quote it to their friends. And meanwhile, Moore is sitting there giggling over another jelly donut.
Good job there. Love it, man.
Hey, it's America, you know, it's why I love it. Email. I don't know why Moore loves it, and maybe he doesn't. What am I saying? Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. You're listening to the only reality radio, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
It's time now for the Phil Henry Show Alcoholic of the Week.
What?
Nothing. An alcoholic judge was kicked off the bench Tuesday for repeatedly being drunk in the courtroom. District Judge Monty L. Doggett issued arrest warrants when he was too drunk to read them, was sometimes so intoxicated the court had to be canceled, and once had to be carried out of his courtroom by deputies, according to the Louisiana Supreme Court. The Phil Henry Show Alcoholic of the Week, Judge Monty Doggett. With that fugitive theme, man, you're driving me nuts.
What?
Just turn it off, man. I've heard enough of it. By the way, good work from The Star, a magazine that I read from time to time. The photographers, as you know, the tabloid photographers especially, are an interesting breed to me because they do get their shots, and they do it even though it, you know, is very troublesome to the people they're taking pictures of. It's hard to be sympathetic to celebrities at times because we imagine them to have a very easy life. In point of fact, they do have a very easy life. I want you to know that. You'll hear a lot about celebrities having an easy life, and you'll hear them say it's not really true, our lives are very tough, and you don't know what to think? I'd like to report to you at this time, the Phil Henry Show has it on absolute authority, celebrities have very easy lives. And will you shut that off, man? Every time I make a point, you don't have to come with a fugitive theme.
I thought you wanted to make your point stressed.
Just get out of the studio. You ever come in here again without my permission, I'm going to kick your rear end around the block for drill.
Wow, what a tough guy.
Anyway, celebrities do have a very easy life, but I got to tell you something. They don't have such an easy life that they should be dogged and the worst possible picture taken of them. Now, I used as an example a couple of weeks ago, Kirstie Alley. God bless her. Kirstie Alley, when she's down around 120 pounds, is one hot, dynamite-looking woman. When she's up around 480, as she is these days, it's a little rough. It's a little rough, and I say that with the greatest of respect. I don't think anybody should have to be subjected to the kind of harassing that she was subjected to while the poor woman is shoving her fifth burrito into her face, and there's a guy there from The Star ready to get the picture going. Don't want to take any pictures of her when she's slimmed down, man, but when she's beefed out to a good, clean, and even five bills, you want to be there with that motor drive in tow. But nothing can compare, I think, to the absolute insult that was paid in this week's Star in a photograph that they published of Luke Wilson, who is at the 6th annual Michael Douglas and Friends Celebrity Golf Tournament. There's Luke Wilson, the brother of Owen Wilson, with his hand shoved in his pants. Honest to God, the guy's adjusting his underwear, and it looks like he's just reaching down for a quick grab. What are you thinking, dude? Just wait till he puts his hand in his pants, Charlie. Wait, I just want to get it. Just don't get something good. What are you talking about? Just wait. Aha! Click, 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 click. Don't wait for the cat to, like, applaud or look dignified. As soon as he reaches in there and scratches his Royal American.
Sorry.
They got to get the picture going of this poor guy. They got one here at Tyra Banks. Boy, does she look horrifying. She looks terrible. She's on that Tower of Terror ride at Disneyland. You know, that just opened up. You people in Orlando know all about it. I went down there for the opening of that thing back in 94. The day before OJ went out on the Bronco, they had us all up from Miami for a media day. So they had us all broadcasting our show. I almost got thrown out of Disney World because I was doing a soccer game between the Israelis and the Germans. And I was using, instead of goal, I was saying, he kicked him in the balls. And the guy that works the carnation stand almost threw me out. Because anybody at Disney, they've got full authority. They have full police authority. At any given moment, if anybody gets out of hand, even one of them dwarves, a guy in a suit, in a chipmunk suit, can come over and throw you to the ground and beat you within an inch of your life, a la Rodney King. So I'm doing this radio broadcast, and over comes the kid out from behind the carnation ice cream stand. He's still got the carnation scoop in his hand with the little kind of Nehru hat on. And he comes over and says, all right, shut it down. Let's go shut it down. Wait a minute, man. What are you talking about? I'm shutting you down, baby. Hey, dude, why don't you get back over to the banana splits, huh? Yeah, make a joke about it, huh? You watch me. You try me, fat man. So there I was, and then we went out on that Twilight Zone Tower of Terror deal. It ain't bad. It ain't great. I mean, it ain't Six Flags. It ain't. Let's face it. Disneyland is fine. Disney World is whoopee-doo. But if you want the real thrill ride, baby, Six Flags is where it's at. They got those rides you'll turn upside down. They got rides you'll have your guts hanging out of your mouth when you get off of it. That Superman Escapes ride, I thought I was going to wet myself. I'm not kidding you. See, heights I'm not good with. Now, I'm not saying roller coasters. I'm cool with that. I like roller coasters because I can see but when I'm going up, when I'm going backwards, man, and I can't see anything around me, and that Superman Escapes thing, and you just woohoo all the way down that long chute. Oh, I got to the bottom of that, and I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Then I realized it was just California.
I'm sorry,
I don't need any music, bud, to emphasize or punctuate any crap I'm saying. And let me just underline the word crap. So there's poor Tyra. She's going down this Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. She's got a kisser on her. You know, she's a very lovely girl unless she gets scared. Then she's like fetal alcohol syndrome or something. Boy, look at the mouth on her. You know, she's really pretty, but when she opens that yap of hers, she looks like a Halloween pumpkin. Look at that. Woo! Scary, man. What did you just do, bud?
I took that picture of Luke Wilson with his hand on his pant, in his pant leg.
Oh, well, you're selling all that stuff to the star, huh? You know, Tyra Banks is beautiful, but when she gets scared, she looks exactly like Dave Chappelle. Exactly. She's something else, isn't she? Boy, she is a hot-looking woman. All right, anyway, that's the Phil Henry Show for tonight. Don't forget, by the way, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, and pick up a souvenir or two at our souvenir shop at the Phil Henry Show website, www.philhenryshow.com. But even if you don't do that, if you get our CD, all the money goes to my friend's place, and they're cool and groovy people. Don't forget, we'll be on the Dennis Miller Show next month in June. We're also planning on doing a regular feature on Dennis's show. We're very honored to do that. He's a funny guy. He is an original. He's an American original, baby. In other words, he's a comic who don't necessarily hate George Bush. By God, that is original these days. And you know, it's also one thing to be a humorist to actually have a point of view as opposed to just sort of, you know, have you seen the latest about Bush? Order our CD, by the way, at 877-616-7445. Bye.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.